Welcome to my neighborhood, a tucked away street in the hustle and bustle of Western San Jose that I call home. Behind it, a park that as of the pandemic has become quieter without the usual boisterous Friday night basketball games, and a library, a once air-conditioned escape from the hot summer sun for relaxing reading, now inaccessible to the public. But it's not the park or the library that make my neighborhood feel unique. It's the people that make my neighborhood feel friendly and special, regardless of the times we live in. Meet one of those people that make my neighborhood especially cheerful, Sandy. Sandy has been my neighbor ever since my family moved to our neighborhood 10 years ago. She's typically seen walking her two golden retrievers around the block, waving hi to neighbors and strangers alike.
Good morning, how are you?
Always willing to have a conversation with you, she makes her community happier, whether it's sharing the vegetables that she grows in the community garden, or letting you pet her fluffy dogs. She's always happy, even in the difficult times we live through now, so I became intrigued by her optimism and kindness towards others. But I knew little about Sandy's life and the many hardships she's gone through. Sandy grew up in a small farming town in Marshfield, Wisconsin.
And we were all very close, and we could ride our bikes to see our grandparents and our cousins in a nice little close small town.
Her father was a small business owner, and her family emphasized faith when she was growing up.
I always look to my faith. It's an avenue that keeps me positive and keeps me caring and keeps me going. I say prayers of gratitude, and I know the nevers can happen, and when the nevers happen, I just pray for the strength to deal with whatever comes my way.
She studied as an education major at St. Teresa University in Winona, Minnesota, and lived all across the country until she met her husband, George, a corporate pilot for the Anfac Hotel and Resort in Texas.
We met and became pen pals. We never dated, and we were just like best friends because we knew so much about each other from being pen pals.
One letter wrote,
I could not imagine my life would be like without my sweetheart. I love you so very much and so proud of you. You've made my day. Love you forever, your husband. He was more quiet than I am, had a wonderful sense of humor, but would think about things before. He was a lot more laid back, California laid back, where I'm more of a bubbly kind of happy-go-lucky.
In 1987, Sandy moved to live with her husband in Santa Cruz and had her son Jeffrey on November 15th, 1987. But right from his birth, something was off about him.
When Jeffrey was born, he had very low muscle tone, but he didn't have a lot of the other Down syndrome characters. And so our pediatrician right away did the test that we found out Jeffrey had Down syndrome.
Just days after learning about her son's condition, tragedy that no one could have expected struck.
It was a very rainy day, and my husband had to take his boss to Orange County for the Christmas party, so he was headed down to the airport. One of the individuals from San Jose Airport called for him, said George never showed up.
A truck had hit a puddle and came into her husband's lane. He was killed instantly.
It's so over-consuming that you go into autopilot, you become like a robot. You don't think, you don't breathe, you automatically do everything you're supposed to do. And little by little, you start to process what's really happened. And sometimes it's at being at the grocery store and looking at a special fruit or vegetable, and you break down into tears because that reminds you, you know, of your husband and everything that happened.
After her husband's passing, Sandy and Jeffrey moved to their current house and have been here for the past 33 years. She faced great adversity taking care of a special needs child as a single parent.
His auditory processing is very, very slow. So it's almost like when you speak with him, it's almost like he's hearing a different language because he might pick up on one word that he understands, but then it's stuck there. Life's not easy, and never will be. But once you understand that, you just try to do the best you can with what you've got and try not to beat yourself up when you can't do everything. And that's the hardest thing because you want to be two people and you aren't.
Just recently, in March of 2020, disaster nearly struck again when Sandy brought Jeffrey to the doctor for what she thought was just very bad allergies for him.
But he also has a high tolerance for pain, So I don't know until he's really, really sick. And the doctor came in and said, I'm calling an ambulance. I'm calling ER right now. So I drove right to El Camino, and we didn't come out for 16 days. We got there, they put us in a room, and we went right to ICU and spent five or six days there, and then progressive care is in the same unit. Actually, COVID was on that same unit too, so that was a fear, you know.
Jeffrey left the hospital on March 16th, one day before pandemic lockdowns began and came into effect. But his problems didn't end there, as he still needed an electric breathing machine with him at all times. And last year, California wildfires caused PG&E to temporarily cut power in some neighborhoods. This made Sandy especially nervous.
But at any time when he's sick, he might even have a bad allergies or a bad cold. And his breathing, he has trouble breathing. So I have albuterol, and he has to use a nebulizer in order to breathe. So the fear of power outages is great.
So after learning about her story and all the great difficulties she has gone through, and seeing how positive and optimistic she always is 24/7 to others, what advice do you want to give other people who want to be like you?
Definitely count my blessings every single day. I look at the good instead of the bad. My mom always used to say, you get more with honey than you do with vinegar. You know, there's always somebody that's got it worse. We could be without home, we could be homeless, we could be without food, we could be without family, with friends, without our faith. There's so many things, and there's so many people that have it a lot worse than I did. I really stay in gratitude because it grounds me. It puts me in a better place.
Sandy is truly a one in a million. I don't think I'll ever reach her level of resilience, compassion, and grace, but her story has left a deep and profound impact on me. It has allowed me to see how I can try to emulate Sandy's optimism, no matter how difficult the challenges or circumstances. Sandy is and has always been a force of happiness in our neighborhood that makes our community unique and warm. I'm Gordy Sun. Thank you.